Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello, I'm Minnie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
Welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hooray!
Hooray, we have another very special guest for you this episode. Hello, Zoe Kleinman.
Hello.
Zoe, you are a BBC technology journalist, a mother, and a self-proclaimed bath snob.
I am.
What is a bath snob, Zoe?
Yeah, well, let's just bypass her professional career.
Yeah.
Let's forget the journalism.
Yeah. I like a bath. I want to hear about the bath.
Yeah.
But see, I don't like a bath, which is why I became a bath snob. I've had about a dozen baths in recent years, but they've all been amazing. I've been like in a sunken bath underneath an ancient hotel in Budapest. I've been in like an infinity pool on the top of a hotel in California. You know, if I'm going to have a bath, I'm going to have a proper bath.
You're having an event.
Yes, yeah. It's an event because they don't happen often. I shower every day, by the
way.
I hasten to add.
So you've been a technology journalist at the BBC for quite a while.
Long time, yeah.
Oh, wow. Years. So talking gadgets, gizmos, the future.
Wow, it's like tomorrow's world.
What year is it again?
Yeah.
Tech special.
Thank you, Judith.
That's right.
What are your areas of specialist interest, Zoe? What do you like in the way of tech?
So we cover all sorts of things. I really like robots. I really like gadgets. I really like things like driverless cars. And I'm also really interested in the kind of the working culture, I guess, because, you know, it's quite an interesting sector in terms of the characters that it attracts. And some of them are incredible. You know, you've got these enormous minds who are so clever and creative and yet so very difficult to have a normal conversation with, and I find that dynamic really fascinating.
You mentioned robots there. I like robots. I'm quite into have a lot of robot cushions and mugs. I didn't have a boyfriend until I was 24. but seriously, Zoe, why haven't we got robot butlers? I honestly thought that by now we've got like electric cars, we can like cure all these diseases, but I haven't got a robot butler. What is going on?
I think the thing is, at the moment with robots, they're very good at the stuff that we are very bad at. So they're very methodical, you know, the AI is very advanced, they're very good at doing equations and they can concentrate and all of that stuff and do that kind of thing very fast. But stuff that we are very good at, which is things like human interaction and sort of instinctively knowing, like, well, I say this, I'm sitting in front of three empty wine glasses. I was going to say, like, a human
being. Beg your pardon, here we are.
Would instinctively know to fill a glass, but a robot wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Or it would fill the glass and not know when to stop it because it's got no sense of, you know,
what is
the right
amount. But surely you can program it, though. Like, you can, like, if you can make a video game where the AI can replicate, like, the civilization of Rome as it evolved, why can't you just make a robot know that's enough Sauvignon Blanc? Thank you very much.
Because how do you know that's enough? What would be...
Well, many people have asked me that. I don't, is the answer. I never, ever do, Zoe.
That's the million-pound question, I think.
Well, exactly. And we can't solve it. So what hope does a computer program have? I think that's the sort of the next step, you know, as we watch artificial intelligence actually start to learn from itself. And we are seeing examples of robots that are learning, you know, through experience, much in the way that we do. But it's such early days. I think you're going to have to wait a few years for your butler.
And then, of course, all the butlers will take over the world because that's, you know...
And then there'll be no more jobs for butlers, so...
Yeah, I would take a robot overlord to get out of 30 years of ironing. I'd be quite happy with that. It's worth it, isn't it?
You just quit ironing.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to say that.
That's what I did. Don't iron.
Just not iron. But robotics is coming a bit into the domestic sphere. They've got these, are they called Roombas now, these robot hoovers? Have you had a go of one of those?
Oh, I have had a go at a Roomba, and I think... I wasn't expecting it to be very good. They're like little, well, quite big plate-sized round things, and you just activate them, and off they go in little sort of stripes and hoover your floor. Now, they can't move stuff, so they just avoid stuff. So, you know,
just like husbands.
Well, yeah, they've learned that from somewhere, haven't they? The bits in the corner still have to be done, and they obviously can't do stairs a bit Dalek-like.
Which ones are we talking about now? I'm totally lost.
I can carry on like this.
I had a Roomba.
Anyway,
but it's they're very expensive and they're quite slow and they need sort of prompting. Like I noticed this bit of my floor was just really dirty, I don't know, but it got a bit obsessed with a particular part of the carpet and was just going up, down,
so it's got OCD. It's like, I can't, I'm not happy.
One look at my house, I was like, I don't know where to start.
It's judging you.
I think I need to be married to a Roomba. I think that's the answer.
just some gentle back and forth once in a while.
Yeah. But if you think about it, like the sort of that domestic sphere has often been a source of innovation. You know, like we don't even think about them anymore, but dishwashers, washing machines, all of that stuff started because people spend so much time doing domestic chores and they don't really want to, and they're constantly looking for time saves. I went to CES at the beginning of the year, which is this massive crazy tech fair in the middle of Las Vegas, where literally like 150,000 people descend on Las Vegas, and they're showing off all their gadgets, and they really want to get funding and they want to get publicity. Some of them are really good, some of them are really bad, but one of the things that for some reason just attracted everybody's attention, well, there were two things actually. One was a toilet that cleaned itself.
Shut your face.
I'm serious.
She can't shut her face. She's seen the future. She must speak of it. Speak of it to us, Zoe. Speak of it. Self-cleaning toilet.
Yeah, you only have to clean it once every 2 years. I can't begin to explain how complicated the sort of even microbiology
was behind
it. Even
in your hard water areas.
Yeah. But another thing, and like weirdly, I tweeted about it and it got hundreds of retweets. It's not even really tech, but it was a Samsung, I think, washing machine. But it had a little tiny sort of trap door in the middle of the round door. So you know that moment you put the washing on, you go back into the hall, you're like, there's two socks on the stairs. So like, you can open the little tiny door.
Oh yeah.
And that's not even tech, is it? It's just clever thinking, and that's what these people erotic. Do.
Well. Genius that's, is what it is. It's genius.
I am aroused. Yeah, that's so amazing.
Because I thought I was quite sophisticated because I am a bit of a gadgety nerd. I've got include a kettle with four different temperature settings.
Oh.
So you can have like water boiled to 80 degrees if you're having green tea, which I never have. I don't even like green tea particularly. Don't even have it.
You have options though, Ellie.
You can have it.
I could have it. And I've got a toaster with a little band of light round the base, and it starts off when you press go on the toaster, it starts off blue, and then it moves to purple, and then it becomes red to alert you that the toast is nearly ready.
Ooh. Never had shit toast at Ellie's house.
Yeah, admittedly, two of the slots do burn the toast compared to the other two, but it's got a fucking light on it, guys. It's got a light on it. Come on, it's the best toaster in the world.
So you can't overcook it.
Well,
you put it in the shit
depends
slot.
Which slots you put it in. But guys, it's got a light. It lights up. It's a light up toaster. What's your favourite time saving gadget that you own?
Oh god, that's a really difficult one. I mean, currently, I'd have to say this Roomba thing. Although I can't bring myself to leave it alone. I have to keep going and checking on it, and I felt guilty.
Like a third child.
No, it really, well, the kids have given it a name, although they've given it the same name that they have. Like, it's, I don't know, it's really weird. Like, it's an extension of them. I was like, look, darlings, we've got a robot. And then I had to get over the fact that it's not like a robot with, you know, that robots look like in children's
stories.
It's
not C-3PO.
No, and it's not C-3PO, which is very disappointing. And that's what we're going to call it. So my eldest is called Harrison. He goes, Harrison Robot. And I'm like, well, okay, but that's not very original, is it? And then the little one is called Harley. It goes, Harley Robot. I'm thinking, can we get away from the two names that we have in the house already and think a little bit
more? We've already got a Ford car and a motorbike. let's not take this to ridiculous extremes.
It's like they're like mini Alan Sugars, like the Amstrads of 2016.
Oh, I missed that email phone. What a gadget. And Helen, what's your favourite kitchen gadget or domestic gadget?
I do love my toasty maker. I mean, I'm a woman with simple needs.
Really?
Yeah. I do like a sandwich press. And
they're a bugger to clean, though, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't clean it.
Oh.
It's like I've taken the essence of Chinese cooking, like the wok, and put it into like the season. Uh-huh. So the essence of a bit of grilled cheese from yesteryear.
I feel like Nigel Slater would approve.
Yeah.
So going back to the future, we're not going to have robot butlers soon, but we are going to have a washing machine with a trapdoor. Robot hoovers.
Drones are an interesting one, I think. I really like the fact that companies like Amazon and even possibly Royal Mail actually are experimenting with drone deliveries.
Oh.
So the idea is you order something Uber locally and then it just pops along on a drone. And
I don't understand with drones. So drones, like, I think I understand them. I listen to a lot of Radio 4. Drones are like little, like kind of little tiny spaceship things that float around and then they drop stuff.
Yeah, so right? they're probably or like about, I don't know, the size of a small suitcase.
Right.
And they've got, most of them got four rotor blades, one on each corner.
Mm.
And you can fly them like often via an app on your phone. You just send them up. But the thing that's not very good about them, and this is like the bane of the whole tech sector, I think, is the batteries are rubbish. You get maybe 15 minutes of flying time. So this is why this is where the whole delivery thing falls over, because if you've only got 15 minutes.
Yeah. So obviously you've seen lots of cool gadgets recently, but have you seen anything where you've looked at it and gone, no, that'll never take off, you know?
I think when you're a journalist, it's quite hard not to think that about most things, because you're kind of, you're fighting the tide of publicity that comes your way. You know, people only show me stuff because they want me to write about it or talk about it. So I only get the good stuff. And so you sort of always have to try and think, well, hang on, but how does this fit in with what else is out there? Is it really that new? And, you know, what might be the fatal flaw? It's a horrible thing. I feel like a dragon sometimes in Dragon's Den. I remember going to this gorgeous lunch once at this really posh members club thing. And I went along because, well, it was a gorgeous posh lunch.
Who doesn't love a free lunch?
But then I realised that it was some sort of startup pitching lunch. And I literally had to sit there for 2 hours while company after company pitched. I was so hungry.
How did you resist the temptation to stand up and go, I'm it! And just run out of the door? I would have totally done that.
Well, I think the awful thing was that the hungrier I got, I wasn't the only one there, by the way, there was three or four of us, I think. And, you know, the hungrier we got, the nastier we got.
Don't care.
Not going to work. Like, where are the canapes?
If I don't have a carbohydrate in my mouth in 3 minutes, you're all going to die.
But sometimes you get into trouble. I went to a VR demo in Las Vegas.
That's virtual reality for people like me.
Virtual reality. And it went from amazing to really awful in the space of about 3 minutes. The first thing I did, which was just incredible, was climb Everest in this little hotel room in a suite off the, you know, strip in Vegas. This totally consuming VR experience where everywhere I looked around, there was the wind whistling in my ears. I mean, it wasn't cold, which was the only kind of thing that sort of kept me anchored, but they'd taken actual footage from the film Everest. Everywhere you looked, you were just on this mountain and walking along and sort of pulling yourself along. So you have these like joystick sort of controller things, but they were crampons. Is that the word? Crampons?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're sort of pulling yourself along and these things and going over ice chasms on tiny sort of ladders. It was the most phenomenal thing.
That sounds brilliant.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing, actually. I mean, I'm probably never going to climb Everest, and that's the closest I'm going to get. But
sounds
it was
lovely.
But that's so what I like. Like, I have a weird obsession with like Everest, and I've never done any mountain climbing. I know Helen's like just laughing at me already. She knows this is true.
She's shaking her head. Ellie don't
really leaves her own house.
Yes, don't leave the house. Hate the cold. Drive everywhere. not interested in like actually doing mountain climbing. I've read about 12 books about climbing Everest. I don't know why. It's
well,
really
got to
weird.
Do this. You've got but to do
it. To do that, phenomenal. That sounds absolutely
it's
ideal.
Phenomenal. But then, unfortunately, I went to the next demo, which was again sounded really interesting. It was called something like Lost in Space, and it was a game where you're in this spaceship and something's gone wrong. Anyway, unfortunately, I put this thing on. But yeah, so the controller had been inverted. So what I thought was up was down. What I thought was left was right. And I just couldn't orientate myself. And so I was literally spinning round and round in this spaceship with the horizon spinning with me and Earth, you know, miles in the distance. And I kept losing sight of the Earth. And there were all these sort of bits of detritus from the ship floating around me. And, you know, I mean, literally,
Robot butler poured you too much wine, Sarah? Is that what was going
the
on
thing,
here?
The thing was, I suddenly and really quite dramatically started to feel incredibly sick, like I was going to vom all over this person's computer. And in the end, I literally had to pull off the headset. And they're quite clunky because it's early days for these headsets. They're like, I think I'm going to have to go. I'm really sorry. And they were mortified. There was just this horrendous silence. They were so mortified. And I got out of the hotel. I got lost. I couldn't find my way out of the hotel. And then I got out and I walked the wrong way down the strip and ended up miles away from where I needed to be. And I was just totally, totally disorientated for a good while afterwards. And I wrote this piece like saying, you know, I really threw up at a VR demo because I sort of wanted to get that side across that actually it's, you know, it's got the potential to be this multi-billion dollar industry. And I think a lot of people think that a lot of money will go into it. You know, look at like the Everest experience. I mean, my nan is 91 and housebound. She would love to put on her goggles and spend a couple of hours in Everest. It's got incredible potential, you know, but this sickness thing has got to be sorted out. You know, the price is going to be a problem for people at first because it's not going to be cheap.
349 to live in another world, Zoe Kleinman. What price would you pay?
That's cheaper than EasyJet in peak season.
Forever. That's the PlayStation one, isn't it?
Have you tried the Google Cardboard?
No, what's that?
Google Cardboard, you've got to look this up. I think it's £10 or £15, probably £10 actually. And it's literally a very cheap VR headset. You make it yourself. It comes in a piece of cardboard. It's made by Google. And you stick your phone in the front of it. And you can see some incredible things. There's some brilliant apps out there. And recently, am I allowed to plug BBC content?
We do it all the time.
All we talk about is the fucking Archers.
Jesus Christ.
I haven't got a 360 Archer story, I'm afraid. But recently, BBC Click went to the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland.
No.
And they've done a VR episode where you're in the LHC. It's absolutely phenomenal. And I watched it on Google Cardboard, literally just stuck my phone in it and watched it.
Next, so you've looked at a lot of tech. I mean, and are there moments where you go, I know this is the Betamax of the future? Have you got a good, like, dud radar or dud sort of...
So when my first son was born, somebody bought me very thoughtfully, and I don't want to sound ungrateful because it was a lovely, thoughtful gift.
You already do, Zoe. Carry on.
I know.
I'm not racist, but...
Can I push a bit more before I get the story?
If you start a sentence like that, we'll have to stop it. But carry on.
When my first son was born, she bought me a digital thermometer that you put in the bath to get the bath at the perfect temperature for baby. And one day I go to put my little magic wand in the bath and it doesn't work. And I just burst into tears. And I phoned my mum. I was like, Mum, I don't know what to do. I'm running a bath for, you know, my baby. And I don't know what the temperature is. And I'm going to boil him alive or freeze him to death. And how easy is it to baby? I know. How easy is it for babies to get hypothermia? And my mum was like, Zoe, calm down. You know what warm water feels like. Stick your hand in it and see how it feels. And I was really quite, grounded by that that logic, but also it was it really made me think. You know, I've been so reliant on this gadget to do it for me that I have totally forgotten not only that I can do it myself, but also that I have instincts.
Did you have any stupid baby gadgets, Helen?
No. Oh, apart from obviously my breast pump, which I just thought, I mean, it was a necessity, but I just thought it was the silliest thing I've ever seen.
Was it an electric one or a...
Yeah, I had the Mandela pump, and just seeing my nipple going, aruga, aruga, from going from a pancake to a very thin hot dog.
Hey, that man spent 25 years in Robben Island designing that thing. Don't
really...
I don't think it's called the Mandela breast pump. I could be wrong.
Oh, my God.
It's not far out there. It is far out there.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the Mandela breast pump. Every time you finish, it's like, freedom. Yes.
Yes, that was the most ridiculous thing. I just felt like milking a cow, like having my teats pumped. That was the most ridiculous thing.
I went to a baby show because I used to have a baby blog, and I went to a baby show like to write a funny report, but obviously got totally like taken in and overwhelmed by all this shit, and ringing my friend Jessie, who's a health visitor, and going, do I need a bin? Do I need a special bin that you have to put the nappies in with the special bags? And because it's £25 and I don't know if I need it, I haven't got a nappy bin. And she went, have you got a bin? And I was like, yes, I've got a bin. She's like, then you've got a bin. Name it. And I was like, all right, yeah. No, that's, yeah.
We're just going to have a little Prosecco break.
Yeah, we're just having a Prosecco moment. Helen, would you like to do some advertorial?
Oh, yes. Well, the lovely people at Skinny Prosecco have given us a crate of Skinny Prosecco for our podcast. Now, the lovely thing about Skinny Prosecco is it's delicious and it's fizzy, but it's also half the calories. So, which means we can eat twice the amount of cheese.
That's right. Drink twice the amount of Prosecco.
Drink twice the amount of Prosecco. So thank you, Skinny Prosecco, who sent us a crate of fizz.
Yes. Now, obviously, Zoe can't have any of this Prosecco because she works for the BBC and she's not allowed to have anything that's free. So, but that's all right. We've got you some mineral water. Oh. So,
yay! It's calorie free! You can drink from the tap! I'm terrible. That's what we need. A Prosecco pouring robot, don't we?
You'd be disappointed with the measures, I think, because they wouldn't understand that you want slightly more in the glass than is elegant.
But I know I'm starting to sound obsessed with this, but couldn't you just draw a line on it and they could just fill it up to the line?
Well, you could program it to pour a certain, quantity and then stop. But I just don't think humans are like that. We don't always have the same quantity, do we? Like, what is a reasonable glass of wine one night might not be a reasonable glass of wine the other night. It depends on how the day's gone, how tired you are, how nice the wine is. And it would be almost impossible at the moment to program a robot to have that kind of sensitivity.
If it's not an effort to lift the glass, it's not enough wine. That's what I would teach my robot butler. I've programmed him. Job done.
Surely there's an eye thing. So it like reads like your retina to sort of say, she looks like she's had a hard day with the kids. It could read the mood in the house in terms of how much the kids have screamed.
The narrowing of the eyes. That's proportional to the amount of wine required. Well, couldn't you just say small, medium, large, like when you order a latte or something?
Yeah, you could probably do that. But I think you might be stymied by the fact that, if you hooked a robot up with, let's say, your smartwatch or your phone's health data, what you think might be the symptoms of you needing a glass of wine, your robot might think was symptoms of you needing an ambulance. It'd be like your pulse is racing, your pupils are dilated, you're agitated.
Because surely we'll all be like
the last thing you need is a stimulant like alcohol. That's what it would think.
True.
We all know that's exactly what's required.
Yeah, like when you're really angry and someone just says, just calm down, and you go, ah, fuck you. It's just me then.
You had a good day.
Yeah. I love being caught in the rain with no phone battery. That's what I want in the future. I want an iPhone that doesn't fucking run out of the batteries halfway through the day.
Right, and this is another massive thing with the whole smartphone pay system, isn't it? Apple Pay's come out. Android Pay has also come out, with the idea being that, you just use your phone as you would use your touch card to pay for everything. But what happens if you've only got your phone and you run out of battery?
Do you know what happens, Zoe?
You walk home.
You walk fucking home. That's what happened to me today, coming home from swimming. I went, don't worry, I've got my iPhone so I can do my Uber. No, the Uber guy decides that he's lost me. Don't worry, I'll go on the bus. No, my phone ran out of battery. So I just walked home in my flip-flops and my children were wearing their pyjamas because I thought we were going home in an Uber. I'm fine with it. I'm fine. Amazing.
Put it on at night before you go to bed in the morning. You won't believe this, it'll be fucking charged.
I know,
I knew
you
that guys. Tech special.
This I know.
That's a life hack for you. So right,
that's what I do, is like a let it like run overnight.
You've been charging your phone all wrong.
Yeah. By not charging it.
That's
the fundamental.
There are people out there like me, I know it, who just living on the edge all the time, always on red. That's how we go. That's how we roll. Anyway,
there's no kind of life.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Anyway, talking about being a bit un-tech savvy, Ellie and I went to Macklin the other day and we thought we would buy a new microphone. And we thought, you know, we know a bit about tech, Ellie does. So I asked the guy saying, oh, we want a new microphone for our comedy. And what did he do, Ellie? He just explained what was on the box in a really patronizing,
he literally, like,
shitty way.
Yeah, he read out the bullet points on the box.
Yeah.
And this has happened to me a lot because I am quite gadgety and I love looking around tech shops and stuff. And my whole life I've had genuine questions and I've had men just read copy to me that as if I can't read and that's my problem with technology. So I get quite annoyed and I get a bit arsey. And I did it in Currys. I can't stop myself. I went to Currys to buy like a Chromebook.
She goes very Peckham when we go to tech stores.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'd like to see the ASOS 4110 or whatever. And the guy's like, yes, now this is a Chromebook. And I was like, yes, I'm familiar with its work. And he was like, now, what this means is it's online. And I was like, I know, because obviously all the data and documents are stored in the cloud. And he was like, yes. And I was like, what's the internal hard drive? And he was like, 16 gig. And I was like, I think it's actually 32 gig. And then I just, like, because I just started, like, boom, 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 just to shit him up. Like, how many USB ports has it got? It's got multiple USB. It's got four, mate. It's got fucking four. That's how many it's got. Yeah, no, they love me in Currys. They can't wait when I
warning, warning.
Yeah. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're slightly thrown by people like us because they don't really know what to make of us. Having said that, you know, I'm a journalist, really. I write about technology. I write about the issues around it. I'm not a repairer of gadgets, and often people come up to me and they go, oh, printer doesn't work. I did a little stint at the BBC in Dorset, which was a phenomenal and very unique experience, and people would knock on the door, especially when word got round who I was, and they'd just bring me, you know, old radios and things, going, oh, it's not working. And I can't help you with that.
The filament's gone in my...
I can talk to you about cyber security, but I can't fix your radio. I feel like a failure. So I kind of get the reverse as well. Sometimes I think people expect... I guess it's like doctors, isn't it? You know, people talk to doctors about what's wrong with them, and people talk to people who
check
work in
my mole.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a doctoral history
class. I don't know. I mean, now, you ladies might know more about this than me, really. I kind of sense... in recent years, you know, the massive drive to get on social media, some of the ladies' products have sort of really gone for this in a way that is a bit alien to me. Like, I remember buying a box of tampons once and the tampons wanted to be my friend on Facebook, and I just thought, what? I don't feel that I'm at a stage where I need to have tampons as friends on social media.
I mean, it's an intimate
media relationship,
but that's... No, I don't want a close relationship with my tampons. You know, I just want a sort of very free and easy, no strings attached.
Hey! Now you have a very close relationship with them, but you don't really need to converse with them on Twitter, do you? I find that a slightly odd thing. And the other thing, oh God, if you've got me going now, actually, the other thing that really annoys me is this shrink it and pink it thing, where, you know, people design really cool gadgets and they go, they don't really look like women, we'll like them, what can we do? I know, we'll make them small and we'll make them pink, and then women will want them. And You know, we're like, well, I don't mind.
Shrinking and Pinkett.
Yeah. Listen, that idea was originally our Lord's, and that's how we got the penis. So let's not be too judgmental.
That's right.
So you're a mum, obviously, Zoe. How old are your children?
They're 4 and 2.
Right. And how do you use technology to parent?
I sort of do believe that children need the outdoors. And I think that screen time doesn't always facilitate that. That said, I did once read an article which said the very worst thing you can ever do as a parent is use your TV as a babysitter. And I thought, yeah, but what else do you use it for? You know, we're like, we put the telly on when mummy's got to make dinner or make a phone call or go to the loo or, you know. I totally think that that's a reasonable expectation, and also it's their world. You know, they're going to grow up in this screen-based world, and it's wrong to hide them from it. That's really artificial. You know, they see us on our phones the whole time, so they should definitely know what it all is. But it's just that balance, isn't it?
Well, it is. I learned that the hard way recently. My kids are doing animation at school, and they're going to have a animation festival at the Picture House in East Dulwich. I'm going to say it that way because it's like that. I'm going to say it through a veil of hummus. So my daughter, who's 7, said, "Mummy, I'd like to do some more animation in the toy room. Can I have your phone?" I said, "That's fine." What I didn't know, what she did is do a GIF of my son, who's 4's bottom, wiggling. Like, it's called a boomerang, which is a loop GIF.
Yeah.
And send it to her grandparents in Australia saying, "This is Hugo's butt with 4 poo emojis." And it was 3 a.m. in Australia. And I was just like, mortified. And I said, "Listen, that is not on. This is not on. You are not having screen time for a week." And I put my foot down. Look at me parenting. But that mean I had to do craft. We had to sing songs.
For a whole week.
We had to do Lego trains, like the whole shebang. And when my mum used to say, "This punishment is hurting me more than it is hurting you," that never was a truer word spoken, because it was really hard, but I stuck to it. And it was good. Like, they played beautifully. They created wonderful, magical worlds.
But yeah, are you still doing it now?
No. On the Friday, we watched Ghostbusters at 8. Shit, and it was great.
We got my son, my 4-year-old, a kiddie camera for Christmas, and within 2 days of having it, he's like giggling away to himself, and he goes, "Mummy, I'm going to take a picture of my willy." And I was like, "You're 4. I thought I'd have to talk to you about, you know, sexting when you were about 15.
You know the rule, dick pic 6. Go on, another 2 years, son."
So I deleted them, and I did what I think every parent would do in that situation. I went, "Reese, you got to talk to your son about taking pictures of his willy."
You did the cock talk.
The angle's all wrong. The focus is off. It needs to be lit from beneath.
Anyway. Well, there we go. Do you feel like that's enough tech chat?
We've done a lot of tech.
Yeah, are you ready?
Shall we move to boob chat?
So, Zoe, you've written a book and a blog. The book is called, is it Birth, Boobs and Bad Advice?
Yeah.
Of those three, what's the worst?
God, it was all pretty bad, really. I always thought if I was going to write a book, it was going to be some sort of sassy chick lit, or maybe some kind of, you know, blockbuster rom-com, and that wasn't quite what worked out in the end. I basically had a really horrible time breastfeeding, and I got really angry about it because I just got shouted at a lot at a time when I felt quite vulnerable. You know, I hadn't slept for weeks. I had a baby that was starving and crying, and every time I tried to feed it, there were a million people lining up to tell me that I was, you know, doing it all wrong. I think the thing is that, so my problem was that I just never really had any milk. I never got, I'm so jealous, really. I never got that big boob thing. I just never had more. I could like express for an hour and get half an ounce, you know, which is nothing. And rather than sort of be, I think, encouraged to sort of say, "Do you know what, you've tried and this isn't working and you need, the baby needs something, you've got to give it some formula," I was just sort of told I was ruining his stomach lining and I was poisoning him, and you know, I was on a slippery slope, and all these kind of quite nasty negative messages when I least needed them, and when I sort of felt like, actually, this isn't fair, I can't do anything about this. You know, I've got, you know what it's like, you've got a baby at least to eat every 2 hours, and you're sort of torturing yourself trying to do something that for whatever reason your body is just not doing. So yeah, I got really angry about it. And what really annoyed me was that everyone kept saying, but every woman can breastfeed, you know. No, there's like four women in the world who medically can't breastfeed, and it can't, you know, you just need to keep trying.
Well, you're like, I am five.
Well, it was really sort of unhelpful. And so I guess being a journalist, I sort of decided to prove them wrong. And then I started talking to friends about it, and I met a whole load of people who, guess what, more than four, who had also been unable to breastfeed and also had a very difficult time and, you know, had all sorts of awful problems as a result, because they just felt that they were doing the wrong thing. And, you know, it's very difficult to look at a newborn and think, I am sort of mistreating you because I'm not doing what society tells me I need to do. And, you know, I'm not at all anti-breastfeeding. I think it's an amazing, wonderful thing, but I couldn't do it. And yeah, I wrote this book, and, you know, it's not the bestseller. It's certainly not gonna be much of a pension fund for me, but I've helped maybe like 500 women who, and they've all been in touch with me and said, thank you so much, because you know what it's like, you're at home on your own with a baby and you feel like you're the only person in the world that's not getting it, and you don't know what you've done, what memo you missed, you know. And I really felt very strongly that I wanted to help people who were in that same situation as me.
How did you get through it?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, it was awful. It was really hard. I think there needs to be more education, really. Since I've looked into this, you know, I've discovered that there's kind of links with thyroid. Sometimes if your thyroid isn't working properly, it can affect how much milk you produce. And women who have cesareans sometimes have problems because the hormones don't kick in the way they do when you have a natural birth. So there's a lot of stuff around it that, you know, when you go to the classes and they show you the beautiful picture of this kind of happy infant nuzzling at a breast, which I realise isn't the reality for people who do breastfeed either. Yeah. It's uncomfortable and it's hard. I do understand that. But it's kind of, you know, it really doesn't help. I think you have to be very, very strong. And I think in a way it's got worse. Actually, they won't give you formula in hospitals anymore. You have to bring it. And I didn't know that I needed it. And I didn't intend to need it. So I would have been really stuck. And as it was, they would give me a little bottle like the size of a shot glass. So every 2 hours when I had to feed him again, I had to go and ask for permission. And they wouldn't give it to me until they'd sort of, you know, squeezed the life out of me and tried to sort of latch him on and do all this correct humiliating stuff, actually. And then I got my little shot of formula, and then 2 hours later I had to go through it again. And I think, you know, you sort of start to feel less like a new mum and more like you're institutionalised, actually.
You've got to stay sane. I think that's the main thing, is that above everything else, it's about your baby's fed and the mother is well. Like that is it. That's the simple.
It should be.
Simple, the mother's happy, the baby's happy. It's become such a public thing. So many images of people breastfeeding, there's all this sort of stuff that the pressure gets more and more and more and more and more on you to be the earth mother and to be the perfect this and perfect that. It's like, no, the baby just needs to survive. And we have all the resources. I was breastfeeding when I went back to Australia years ago. I said, oh, is it okay to breastfeed? She said, no, it'd be worse if you bottle fed that baby.
You were giving it Corona, though. Do you remember?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I should have been Foster's. Clearly a mistake. But yeah, I was reading in your book today about someone who bottled. Was it you? You bottled fed a baby in a cafe. And what did the woman say to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, she didn't say anything to me, but I was bottle feeding and she was in there with her child. And he said, oh, look, the baby's drinking milk. And she said, yeah. And he said, babies like milk, don't they? And she said, yes. And then he said, did I have milk when I was a baby? She went, not like that, you didn't. And I just sort of sat there and kind of tried not to cry. That's like, you know, I mean, I know that breastfeeding women have horrible times as well, when people sort of, they feel very self-conscious and everything. So actually we're kind of all in the same boat. It's sort of like, why is this happening? Why can't we just live and let live a bit?
It's almost as if there's some massive conspiracy governing the whole of society designed to put women in their place. Oh, that's crazy talk. What am I talking about?
And I think Australia has done a really interesting thing. You'll be glad to know. They've changed one word. They've changed one word of their message around the breastfeeding policy. They've taken out the word promote. So they've got support, they've got, you know, all of the sort of keywords that should be there, but they've taken out that one word, promote. And actually, I think that's a really significant thing to do because it just is slightly taking the pressure off, I hope, people like me who are like, you can promote it at me all you like, but it ain't happening. So, you know, you're really not helping me by telling me that I should be doing this thing that I can't do. You might as well tell me to, you know, I don't know, run a mile with Usain Bolt.
If you just hopped on one leg upside down.
I would have done it. You know, I tried it all. I ate fenugreek, which is disgusting. I drank stout, which just got me drunk. I did every single weird thing.
Oh, yeah, you hung the baby under your arm, like a rugby. I remember the rugby ball.
Yeah.
Just fuck off.
Didn't work. But I remember, like, a couple of weeks before Harrison was born, there was this whole discussion about whether or not he turned and whether or not, you know, I would need a cesarean, whatever. And I remember going to see a midwife. She's like, right, don't worry, I've got the solution. I go, okay, I'm going to contact this lady. She's brilliant. She'll come round and she'll burn a selection of herbs by your foot.
Unless they're cannabis. I'm not interested.
By your foot. And that will turn the baby. And I sat there looking at her. I was like,
into a fucking werewolf? Where are we going with this?
This is only 2011, by the way. Wow. This isn't like 1840. And I was like, pardon? I'm not really understanding the link. She said, darling, I don't understand it either, but it works 50% of the time. And I went, do you know what? I think I'm going to just leave that option, if I may.
I love science. But it's an industry now. It's an industry. And there are so many people and things that play on that anxiety. And it's not fair. It's not fair.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, man.
Woman.
I think we've probably stuck it to the man with the boob chat.
I think we've done boob chat. Thank you, Zoe. And your book is available on Amazon.
Oh, let's play a game, Helen. Let's play a game.
Okay, so we've got a new game which I've created called Buzz My Feet.
Buzz My Feet.
I am going to play a buzz from my house, a tech buzz, and you have to guess what it is.
Okay.
Do we buzz in, or is that going to be really confusing?
No, it's going to be too confusing. So, are we ready?
That is your husband sucking off a strimmer.
No! It's my Kodak printer from 4 years ago. Okay, ready?
It is funky, isn't it?
It is good. Ready?
It's a circular saw you used to cut up that burglar you caught the other week that you were telling me about. Is that it?
No!
Is it a hairdryer?
It is a hairdryer!
Oh. So, Dyson is bringing out a new hairdryer that they say is going to be quieter, but it's £300.
James Dyson, have you not got enough money? Like, seriously?
But his hand dryers are full of germs, have you heard
that? Is that true?
Yes. You ready?
Is that a cassette player or something?
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a Sony Walkman.
Ellie Gibson.
And that's the end of my What's the Buzz? Tell me what the gadget is. What's the buzz? Tell me what the gadget
is. Where's the dildo round? Surely that's where that was going.
Well, and then I Googled dildo sounds and I didn't want to look at the images. So.
Did you know there are sex robots?
What?
Yeah. Do you know about these, Ellie?
No.
I don't know why I'm sort of thinking that you might.
Because why would Ellie know about
it? Well, we never really got to finish my chat about the robot butler and his other tasks. What? No, tell me about sex robots. Well,
I don't know a lot about them. There's a very mysterious company that has been... The woman robot is called Roxy, with three X's.
Right.
And she's got
that's
different...
sexier, obviously.
Yeah. Obviously. And she's got different personalities, so you can sort of program her to be... I can't remember what they're all called, but they're like,
Oh, I know this. There's whore, or there's virgin. Oh, yeah, that's it!
Vicar's
wife. But you can also... apparently program her to do things like tell you the football scores. So practical as well as sexy, which is good.
I want a eunuch, a robot eunuch. That's
really? No cock?
Yeah, yeah.
No cock?
Oh, I feel it's like what you were saying about the wine, isn't it? They wouldn't know when to stop, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, it is time, of course, for Scummy Mummy Confessions. Helen, have you got one for us this
week? I have a very quick Scummy Mummy Confessions. The other day, I caught my son going outside, starting to pull down his pants. I said, where are you going, Hugo? And he said, I'm going to the toilet. And I said, well, we have the downstairs toilet or the upstairs toilet. And he said, but Mummy, there's also the dirty toilet.
Oh!
He said, it's the outside toilet. And I was like, we don't have an outside toilet. And he said, yes, we do. It's the sandpit.
I was sick in my mouth.
Oh,
that's brilliant.
Filth. Anyway, so
Zoe, do you have a scummy mummy confession for us?
Does it have to be poo related?
No.
So I was in a really posh pub and my little boy was playing with another little boy and me and the mum were chatting. Well, actually, no, probably wasn't that posh a pub, actually, because she said, oh, I'm really struggling with knowing what to order for, let's call him Tarquin, because, you know, everything here is just so processed and he's never had any processed food. And rather than kind of say something facetious, I said, oh, I know what you mean. Yes, it's not a great menu, is it? And she said, oh, but it's so difficult. I think we're just going to have to stick to like a, you know, a side of broccoli and the raw asparagus. So I kind of forgot about this conversation. And then eventually our food arrived and we went back to our table. And of course, like Harrison was having, you know, sausage and beans and chips or something. And a, you know, fruit shoot. And just at this point when he's tucking in, this mum turns out to be sitting on the next table. So she comes back with her child and just looks at me. And just she looks at me, Harrison takes this enormous bite out of this highly processed sausage and says, "Mummy, this is much nicer than the ones we have at home. Is it because it's more expensive?" Oh no, I am the mum whose child has never had a vitamin.
You are not the only mum, my friend.
Oh my God.
You are not the only mum. Instead of my confession for this episode, can I share a confession that we had at a gig recently? Because I loved it so much. So Helen and I did a really fun gig at a school and the lovely Michelle won. And her confession was that she was at the Church Twins playgroup one morning and she was so hungover she had to go outside and be sick in a bin. And, you know, someone came up to her and was like, "Are you all right?" And she pretended she was having a nervous breakdown. She went, "Oh, I'm just really struggling." Because she felt that was less embarrassing than being pissed. So, Michelle, Queen of Scum, for that lovely gig, we salute you. We had a lovely time. We hope you enjoyed the skinny Prosecco.
Absolutely. And that's the end of the podcast,
that
Ellie.
That is the end of the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Zoe Kleiman. How do we follow you on the technology? On the social media.
What you do is you burn some herbs by your foot and she will appear to you in a vision.
That would be amazing.
with some processed sausages.
Well, if you want to do us all a favour, you could follow the BBC website, bbc.co.uk, and you could follow me on Twitter at ZSK.
ZSK.
Early adopter. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you want to see us live, we're doing Camp Best of All, of course, this summer.
We're doing a gig on the 23rd of June in Hackney at the Moth Club, so come along to that.
As always, join us on Facebook, leave us an iTunes review, follow us on Twitter at Scummy Mummies, and thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Thank you, Zoe, for being a brilliant guest.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Bye-bye. I even wrote a jingle myself. I wrote, "Kleinman, we're talking tech with Zoe Kleinman. Let's talk tech right now. Kleinman.
Which is Tudor Cox's downtown.
Yeah.
Which has got to do with tech.
It's just rhyme. It's like Kleinman downtown.
Doesn't rhyme, no.
No.
It's got the same number of syllables.
Syllables, that's it.
Wow. Choose now just syllables.
Excellent. Just syllables.
Do it in a robot voice.
"Kleinman."
That's better.
"We're talking tech with Zoe Kleinman."
Yeah.
"We're talking tech right now."
Yeah. Not a Spanish robot, just a robot, mate.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.